Praise be Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the memorial of Saint Monica, who is celebrated as a widow. For that reason, we see in the gospel reading is mention of the widow of Nain, and also in the first reading, the epistle, Saint Paul exhorts us to honor those who are widows indeed, that is, those who sanctify their widowhood. So Saint Monica was born in the year 332 of Christian parents in northern Africa. She was given in marriage to a pagan man named Patricius, with whom she had three children, and none of whom were allowed to be baptized. Patricius, being a pagan, would not allow his children to be baptized and to become Christians. And so this was a great suffering for Saint Monica, to deny her children that first and greatest grace of baptism. So she set out to win her husband's conversion by means of her good example, by her holy life, and eventually he did convert, and he himself was baptized about a year before his death. Now, after her husband's death, Saint Monica then had the next task to convert her wayward son, Augustine, who had embraced the Manichaean heresy and also an impure lifestyle. Now, this, to win his conversion, the superabundance of grace it took to bring him back to the true faith and back to a pure lifestyle, it took 17 years of prayers and of tears to finally get that grace. And she, after having seen her son's conversion, said there was really nothing left on this earth for her to do, for her to accomplish. And so she died shortly thereafter. St. Augustine then, of course, went on to become one of the greatest doctors of the church. And so just looking at St. Monica's life, we can draw out three lessons or reflect on three different things. Number one, the difficulty of mixed marriages. Number two, the power of prayers and tears. And number three, the sanctification of widows. First of all, the difficulty of mixed marriages. I meet many people who were not exactly fervent in their faith when they entered into marriage, and they married someone who was not a Catholic or not a Christian. Then later on, they themselves have a conversion, come back to the faith, and their spouse then becomes an enormous cross. That marriage becomes very, very difficult. And for this reason, the church discourages mixed marriages. Canon law, canons 1124 and 1125, discourages mixed marriages. Why? Because if two people don't see eye to eye on that one thing that should be most important in their life, namely their faith in God, then they are already set out on a difficult course. And really, we see that if two people are willing to enter into marriage, a lifelong bond with one another, and they aren't in agreement about God, then really what is that a sign of? It's a sign that one or the other or both really aren't that serious about their faith in God. And in fact, that's how it happens so often. And then, as I said, if one comes back to the faith later on, then it becomes a real burden, a real difficulty, a real cross that you have chosen. Notice that that's not a cross that God has sent, but that you have freely chosen. Okay, so let's be prudent, let's be wise in counseling those who are considering entering into such a marriage. The church bases her teaching off of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Bear not the yoke with unbelievers, for what participation hath justice with injustice? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath the faithful with the unbeliever? The difficulty of mixed marriages. Number two, the power of prayers and tears. We see that we can really obtain anything from God if we persevere at it, if we pour forth our prayers with all of our hearts. We can even obtain what seems to be impossible conversions. Number three, how widows, especially loved by God, are called to sanctify themselves. Remember that God does have a special love for widows. In the scriptures, it talks about God's particular solicitude and care for who? The poor, the orphans, and the widows. And so it is also with the church. We honor them, as St. Paul says in today's epistle. And widows are also an officially recognized order within the church. That is, they're an established group, such as catechumens, virgins, spouses. So within the church, we also have the order of widows. They, like virgins, can consecrate themselves to live perpetual chastity and become a sign, a shining light of holiness within the church. As the Catechism says, from apostolic times, Christian virgins and widows, called by the Lord to cling only to Him with greater freedom of heart, body, and spirit, have decided with the church's approval to live in the respective status of virginity or perpetual chastity for widows for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. That's the Catechism, paragraph 922. That is, widows who are inspired by God can choose to live for the rest of their lives in perpetual chastity, not to remarry. And they can consecrate this chastity to God for the sake of the kingdom of heaven and be officially recognized as such by the church and be a shining light of the church's holiness. Regarding consecrated widows, which are, as I said, an enormous gift of the church, St. Ambrose says this: there are three forms of the virtue of chastity. The first is that of spouses, the second that of widows, and the third that of virgins. We do not praise any one of them to the exclusion of the others. That is what makes for the richness of the discipline of the church. So today, with the intercession of Saint Monica, we pray and honor all of the church's widows and that they sanctify themselves and become shining lights of holiness in the church. Saint Monica, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.